자유 아름 마루가 자유 근접이 아니 자유 아름 마루가 자유 근접이 아니 꿈이잖아 빠르바 자유 길이 바로 다니 꽃빛이나 빨라봐 자기 길을 바라다니 나의 마르다오리 예소라 난다나 자의 꽃이잖아 난자나 예소라 난다 영문에 뛰어 말하자리나요 근접이 아래 자의 근접이 아래 영문에 뛰어 말하자리나요 빨라봐 나의 길이 바로 다니 나의 바로다 있잖아 빨라봐 나의 길이 바로 다니 길이 바로 다니 예소라 난다 Yesodanandana, Yamuna Tira Banachari, Yamuna Tira Banachari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Panamahang Sapar Vidikacharya Alstu Teda Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnavarin Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem se goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadagadhar Shivasini Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Shyama Kunda Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturam Gijai Jagadavasami Gijai Yumanamai Gijai Shrimati Dalasi Devi Gijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. So, very nice to see everybody. And for those of you in Australia, it is Sunday. And for those of you who are in the United States, it is Saturday. And actually, let's see, I think I wanted to show you something. It's been on my Facebook page, but I can show you anyway. And where's the picture? Oh, yeah, here are the pictures. Okay. Okay. Let's just do a little screen sharing before. Actually, so we should go Om Ganaya Tamidanda Shaganjana Shlakya Chakshura Midikam Yena Tasmai Shibhave Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So kindly open my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So I just want to show you this. What one of my very dear disciples is doing in Australia, Krishna Leela, she opened up a pharmacy, which is called a drugstore in the United States, or druggist, that's what it's called anyway. And she shows the Bhagavad Gita. See the Bhagavad Gita? Anybody can see the Bhagavad Gita here? That's in the, as soon as you walk in to the drugstore, you actually see Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And everybody is trained up to sell the Bhagavad Gita as well as, you know, prescriptions and everything else. And yes, I don't know if you could see that picture there. Let's make it a little bigger. I don't know if I can. No, I can't make it bigger than that. See, that's Radha Golokananda. I think it's Radha Golokananda. Yeah, it's Radha Golokananda in Australia. Anyway. Selling Bhagavad Gita is nice. Someone's having a chat window. So Radha Golokananda are manifesting their presence in Australia, and they're selling Krishna books, and the other book is Chant and Be Happy. Chant and Be Happy, Krishna book, and Bhagavad Gita are being sold there. Pretty nice. That's inspiring, isn't it? Someone send me a chat. It's very inspiring. And she and her sisters are all devotees, and they're all disciples too, and they're different places in Australia. Really enthusiastic devotees. Someone else is sending me a chat window. Maybe Radhashan Chandra. It looks like Radha Golokananda. Anyway. Whatever, non-different. So, on that happy note, we'll get back to where we're supposed to be. So, let's go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. If you want a copy of that photo, it's on my Facebook page, my Facebook timeline too, so you can just download it from there. The friend Govinda asked for copy of it, so that's right there. Okay, so let us go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we are on the 8th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita right now. Let's go. And beginning with text 7, let me put the participant window to the right in case someone wants to ask question in the middle of the reading. Okay, let's go. Esava namane yeva kare Krishna bhakti Krishna kripa nahitare nahitara gati. One who does not accept the glories of the Panchatattva but still makes a show of devotional service to Krishna can never achieve the mercy of Krishna or advance to the ultimate goal. And if those of you who are listening don't know who the Panchatattva is, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Lord Chaitanya Lord Nityananda Dvaitacharya Gadadhar and Srivas, and also Gaur Bhaktivinoda, their devotees. If one is seriously interested in Krishna consciousness activities, he must be ready to follow the rules and regulations laid down by the acharyas, and he must understand their conclusions. The Shastra says, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajanena gata saphamtha. That's a very interesting verse. It's from the Mahabharata, Vanaparva 313-117. It's a discussion between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Yamaraj. It is very difficult to understand the secret of Krishna consciousness, but one who advances by the instructions of the previous acharyas and follows in the footsteps of his predecessors in the line of disciplic succession will have success. Others will not. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says in this connection, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Pecha Keva. Unless one serves a spiritual master and acharyas, one cannot be liberated. Now, I'm just going to comment on this particular verse from the Mahabharata. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajana yenigatasa panta. The verse, part of the verse, is quite interesting. Tarka, patishta, shuti na vivina. So, what this verse states is that one cannot understand the absolute truth, the purpose of life, what everything is about, simply by using their teeny brains, logic, reasoning, or even by studying the Vedic literatures. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham apnabhako. That's from the Brahma Samhita, the verse I just quoted. So, even by studying the Vedic literatures. Why? Because Shruti Ana Vibina. The Vedic literatures have something for everybody. They're like a pharmacopoeia, a drugstore, pharmacy, which has medicines for people who are in all sorts of conditions. So you will not understand what wellness is by looking at the medicines. You'll understand only understand what sickness is. And that's what Krishna says in the Gita, too. What does he say? Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Nish Trigunya of Arjuna, he says to Arjuna, that the Vedas mainly are dealing with people who are sick. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Three modes of nature are mainly the subject matters in the Vedic literatures. So you can understand the absolute truth by using your tiny brain, by studying the Vedic literatures, only by... Again, this verse, Mahajanayana, or the Dharmasya Tathvam and Hitam Guhayam. The real Dharma is hidden in the hearts of the pure devotees, and therefore Mahajanayana Gata Sapanta. And that reminds me of something written by Plato. It's his cave analogy. Plato wrote this, very interesting, that one person gets out of the cave and tries to bring other people back to the out of the cave too. But everybody in the cave is just addicted to their shadow life and dark life. And the person who had gone out of the cave and seen the light, he tries to convince them of the light world outside, and they're having a hard time doing so. But the only way they'll know how to get out is if they follow in his footsteps, Mahajanayana Gata Sapanta. So the only thing, the only reason I know anything is because of it, Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, no way. I had read the Bhagavad Gita before I came in touch with Srila Prabhupada, and I didn't understand what the Bhagavad Gita was saying. Well, I could have speculated. Could have understood a few little things, but not actually the goal, the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. As Krishna says in the Gita himself, 15:15, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. So I wouldn't have even understood that without Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Anyway, let's continue with this purport. Elsewhere he says, Echai Goshayar, we taradas. I simply accept a person who follows in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, and the dust of such a person's lotus feet is my food. Another point is that sometimes we have these discussions, state discussions, arguments, dialogues, you know, whatever word you want to use, about how to apply Krishna consciousness. And people are pulling quotes from here and there and this Purana and that Purana and Varnashram and Ashram Varna. I know there's no such word. Anyway, and they're pulling quotes from different sampradayas and you get completely exhausted. But we follow what Prabhupada said and Prabhupada's mood in presenting Krishna consciousness. Purva yache charasanda adi raja gana veda dharma kari kari vishnura pujana. Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kamsa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshiping Lord Vishnu. And so if you don't know who Jarasandha is, the reason he's called Jarasandha is that he was born in two pieces. And he was joined together by this witch called Jada. And he was a demon, but he followed all the Vedic rituals and even worshipped Lord Vishnu, but hated Krishna. So finally, Krishna, he didn't want to mess with him too much himself. He had Bhimsen kill him. And the interesting way that Bhimsen killed him was that Bhimsen split him down the middle, because that's the way he was born. Two separate halves from two separate ladies. Interesting way. To have two mothers. Two mothers. Actually, three mothers, because Jarasandha was one of the mothers. Mataji. So, in these verses, the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is very seriously stressing the importance of worship of Gaurasundara, a worship of the Panchatattva. If one becomes a devotee of Gaurasundara or Krishna but does not give importance to the Panchatattva, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Bhastari Gaura Bhaktivinoda, his activities are considered to be offenses, or in the words of Srila Urdhva Goswami, utpata, disturbances. One must therefore be ready to offer due respects to the Panchatattva before becoming a devotee of Lord Gaurasundara or Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Remember that. Krishna nagi mane tante daicha kari mani chaitanya na manile taiche daicha kari jani. One who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a demon. There's that word again, which I stress when we're giving our Bhagavad Gita class. Similarly, anyone who does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is also to be considered a demon. Now, please don't misunderstand this word demon. Demon in this context means basically one who's envious of God. It doesn't mean one who has fangs coming out of his jaw or something like that, or long nails. Sirpanaka. It simply means that someone is against God. It's a really heavy term. And usually in the Western world, or even in India, we don't use that word publicly except for extreme cases. I mean, Prabhupada sometimes used it, but Prabhupada can get away with it. It's not that we go up to people and say, "You are a demon." Prabhupada said that once or twice, yeah. But Prabhupada had purity to say that. And we should understand what the word demon means. It just means one can actually be a demon and be a good person. Demon can also refer to a certain family, like Pallad Maharaj was born in a demon family. And Bali Maharaj was a demon until he took up Krishna consciousness. And Avritrasura was a demon too because of the family history, even though he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So it's not such a heavy word like we usually have in English. Formerly, there were kings like Jarasandha who strictly followed the Vedic rituals, acting as charitable, competent kshatriyas. I'll tell the story about that. possessed all Kshatriya qualities and were even obedient to the Brahminical culture, but who did not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jarasandha attacked Krishna many times, and each time, of course, he was defeated. Like Jarasandha, any man who performs Vedic rituals to not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered an asura or demon. Similarly, so let me just explain about Jarasandha following the Vedic rituals. The way that Krishna arranged for him to be killed was quite interesting. Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimsen, that's the brother of Arjuna, one of the Pancha or five Pandavas, dressed up as Brahmanas. So in the Vedic culture, the Vedic ritual, you're supposed to respect Brahmanas, even if they're rascals. And especially you're supposed to accept sannyasis, even if a sannyasi is a rascal. And that's why when Prabhupada was young, Prabhupada's father would entertain some sannyasis who were rascals, and those sannyasis asked Srila Prabhupada's father to get them some ganja. Now, for those of you who don't know what ganja is, we're not talking about the Ganges, the river. We're talking about, anyway, look it up. I'm not going to mention the word. And then Prabhupada's father got them ganja, just being very hospitable to sannyasis. So, if you have a sannyasi, if you have a sannyasi who comes to your home and asks for ganja, please don't. But that's a culture. It's a cultural thing. Now, culture sometimes is really far, far out and not always right. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So Jarasandha followed the culture. He was very respectful of Brahmana. So Krishna and Arjuna and Bhimsen, they dressed up as Brahmanas. And they came to Jarasandha's kingdom, and Jarasandha said, "Oh, my dear Brahmanas, what do you want? Anything you want? I'm very hospitable." And then they said, "We want to fight with you." "Okay, we offered you, or I offered you benediction, so I'll fight with, which one should I fight with?" And then Krishna said, "I'm your old buddy," or enemy, Krishna. And this is Arjuna. And then Bhimsen and Jarasandha said, "Well, actually, Arjuna's a little weaky, and Krishna, you're just like scared of me anyway. So I want to fight with someone who's a little equal with me," and that's Bhimsen. And they fought for many, many, many days in a chivalrous way. And eventually Krishna indicated to Bhimsen how to kill Jarasandha, which, as I mentioned before, was to split him by and hold each leg. Split them in two. Anyway, so he was very hospitable. So sometimes you find people who are against God to be very hospitable. So, all right. Let's see. Similarly, one is not except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna himself, was also a demon. This is the conclusion of authoritative scriptures. Therefore, both so-called devotion to Gaurasundara without devotional service to Krishna and so-called Krishna Bhakti without devotional service to Gaurasundara are non-devotional activities. Woo. If one wants to be successful in the path of Krishna consciousness, he must be thoroughly conscious of the personality of Gaurasundara as well as the personality of Krishna. Knowing the personality of Gaurasundara means knowing the personalities of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Shidwaita, Gadhara, Shivasati, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, pursuant to the authority, stresses this principle for perfection in Krishna consciousness. Right? Morena manile sabha lokaha bhinasha iti lagi kripardra prabhu karila sannyasa. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, unless people accept me, they will all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. So Lord Chaitanya accepted the sannyas order so that people would respect him and listen to him. That's the important thing. So in other words, whatever way that we dress should be done with that particular standard in mind. You understand? What is most effective for communicating the information that we have to communicate, and how will people take it most seriously? In other words, we can dress like this, we can dress like whatever. But the point is to convey information and to convey the process of Krishna consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, and that's what sannyasa is meant for. It's nothing else in Kali Yuga other than that. Because everybody can be a sannyasi at heart. But the only reason that certain people change their dress and put on the saffron and everything like that is because in certain cultures it is more effective. In other cultures, it doesn't make a difference. For example, in America, God bless America, or in Australia, New Zealand, it doesn't make a difference how you dress. It doesn't really make a difference. You can dress this way, you can put a big wig on or whatever, but whatever brings people to Krishna consciousness. You know, if you say to people as you're cultivating people, helping people come become Krishna conscious, and you say, I'm a sannyasi, therefore, you have to listen to me. I don't even know what you're talking about. So therefore, that's the reason for this dress. In Srimad Bhagavatam 12.351, it says, Kirtanadeva Krishnasha, Krishnasha Mukta Sangha Parambhajet. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or Lord Krishna's name, one is liberated and goes back home, back to Godhead. This Krishna consciousness must be achieved through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One cannot be complete in Krishna consciousness unless he accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates as the only means for success. It is because of these conclusions that the Lord accepted sannyas, for thus people would offer him respect and very quickly come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, inaugurated the Krishna conscious movement, without his mercy, one cannot be elevated to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people ask the question, why can't women take sannyas? For this very reason, it's not going to increase their respectability. The only reason for sannyas is to increase your respectability. That's all. Bas. Bas, 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 bas. And in India, it will decrease the respectability. So everyone, as I mentioned before, can take sannyas internally. What does that mean internally? You take a vow, service to the Lord. That is my only life. I have no other objective in life other than serving the Lord. That's it. Boss. That's Hindi for stop. Nothing else. That's it. I have no other objective. That is sannyasi. And then you were a sannyasi. But if you were dressed in saffron and you have other objectives, well, I have other objectives in life. Janam, janam, sundarim. Wealth, followers, whatever. So many computers do I have today, so many more will I have tomorrow. So then that person's not a sannyasi. The dress doesn't make a sannyasi. In the Bhagavatam, it says, as one of the predictions of Kali Yuga, that people will think that someone who dresses in a certain way is religious. In other words, religion is just a change of dress. And Prabhupada had a neighbor who dressed up when he was young, Prabhupada. At that time, Prabhupada was a householder. Had a neighbor who dressed up as a sannyasi during the day so the people would respect him and give him mula. You don't know what mula is. That's French. That's not French. They would give him donations, and then he'd come back and give it all to his wife at night. So in Kali Yuga, sannyas is forbidden for everyone, except when it can be used as a tool to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So many times we find people want to take sannyas so they can be independent. They won't have to listen to authority anymore. You know, that's the motive for many people. Or so they can get all the mahaprasadam. Because what I discovered is when you take sannyas, real sannyas, you're no longer interested in enjoying the tongue. If you're interested in enjoying the mahaprasadam, the tongue, then you ain't a sannyasi, buddy. You are a godas instead of a goswami. Godas means a servant of your senses. Tongue das. Jiva das. You understand? Jiva das. All right. So here we go about sannyasis. Sannyasi buddhye more karibe namaskara tatapi kandibe lukduka paive nistara. If a person offers obeisances to me, even due to accepting me as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish and we will ultimately get liberation. So what is this called? This is called agyata sukriti. If one does devotional service to Krishna, devotional service, part of that is offering respects. There's other things too, you know, service, respects, etc., etc., etc. But if one does it even without knowing, one will advance in spiritual life. There's a lot of things you get the result for, even without knowing. Like if you burn yourself without knowing there's a fire, you'll still burn yourself. You know, the laws of nature, the laws of spiritual nature, act whether you're aware of them or not. One example I give in this regard is a cartoon. Now, when I was young, we used to watch this cartoon, Roadrunner. And Roadrunner, you don't need to know who that was always being attacked by Wiley Fox. Did you see someone that? Chat again. Oh no, it's the same thing I read already. And so Wiley Fox was running after him. And so what happened is sometimes Roadrunner, he was very, you know, I guess a bird or something like that. So he would be able to run off a cliff without getting hurt. But Wiley Fox, he would run after this Roadrunner, and he would run off the cliff too. And he wouldn't fall down until he realized it was a cliff. So he'd hang up in the air for a few seconds and he'd look down and then go, ooh, and then he fell. Well, material nature doesn't act like that. Spiritual nature doesn't act like that. Whether or not, let's say you're blindfolded. Okay. We put blindfold on you and we say, just walk straight ahead, and you walk off a cliff. And I tell you, it's not a cliff. Will it make a difference? No way, Jose. You will fall down. So look, Krishna's energies are like that. Gravity is there. I can say, you know, I'm not aware of gravity. What goes up must come down. I'm denying the reality of gravity. It's stupid. So, in other words, this is the principle of spiritual agyata sukriti. The one does devotional service even without knowing that they're doing devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya does that to bring people to Krishna consciousness. For example, there's that story of the two dacoits, Jagai and Madai, who were chanting Hare Krishna, being drunk in imitation of what was going on inside Srivastava's home, which was a kirtan. And they were making spiritual advancement by doing that, even though they were dacoits, rascals, demons, whatever you want to call them. So if we get people to chant or hear the chanting, they make spiritual advancement. So Lord Chaitanya was doing this by taking sannyas. That's the purpose of sannyas. Just like I took sannyas and people listened to me, at least people from India, people in America, they couldn't care less that I took sannyas. They just think, you know, here's this old guy dressed in pink. He has some problems. But people in India, people in India, that they don't think like that. Unless there's a problem, please don't send any more chat things. Oh, it's Wile E. Coyote. Okay. So, Krishna is so merciful that he always thinks of how to liberate the conditioned souls from the material platform. It is for this reason that Krishna incarnates as clearly indicated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 7. Famous verse. Yada yada hi dharma sha glanar bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharma sha tadatmanam jijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice of the descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself. Krishna always protects the living entities in many ways. He comes himself, he sends his own confidential devotees, and he leaves behind him shastras like the Bhagavad Gita. Why? It is so that people may take advantage of the benediction to be liberated from the clutches of Maya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas so that even a foolish person who accepted him as an ordinary sannyasi would offer him respect, for this would help diminish his material distresses and ultimately liberate him from the material clutches. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati points out in this connection that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Sri Radha and Krishna, Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayanya. Therefore, when fools considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary human being and thus treated him disrespectfully, the merciful Lord, in order to deliver these offenders, accepted sannyas so that they would offer him obeisances, accepting him as a sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to bestow his great mercy on people in general who cannot appreciate him as Radha and Krishna themselves. That was his preaching trick. Now, traditionally, sannyas did have a purpose other than that. And I'll explain what I mean. Because traditionally, people went through different stages in life. For example, when they were young, they were brahmacharis. What does that mean? Someone who gets trained up, or brahmacharinis, someone who gets trained up by the spiritual master in dedication, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Gurauritam Archion Dasaban Nicho. Goes to the ashram of the spiritual master, gets trained up, dedicates himself to the spiritual master, then gets married. Okay, second 25 years. Then gets married, kids, wife, business, bills. Okay. Then after that, like at 50, there's the manaprast. Vanaprast means you go to the forest. In other words, one remains with one's family and becomes gradually detached from this world because one preaches Krishna consciousness. In Kali Yuga, the preferable sannyas, even after this Vanaprast stage, is that the wife and the husband serve Krishna at some holy place or travel and preach. But in the original Vedic system, many years ago, before any of you were born, when I was a kid, in the original Vedic system, then there were different stages after Vanaprast by which someone became more detached from this world. For example, the first stage was Kutichak. Kutichak means someone would remain in a kutir. That's why it's Kutichak. In a kutir outside in the village, outside of the outskirts of the village where he previously lived. And because he couldn't figure out how to cook for himself, you know, it's pretty stupid, he would have his family bring him some food. His wife would send food with the little boys, or big boys by that time. Anyway, and then after a while, he would figure, well, there's a better way to get food. I can go door to door because I'm a sannyasi now. People will give me something. So he would do madhukari. Madhukari means like a bee. Madhu. Madhumukhi. So anyway, so madhumukhi, so sorry. So like a bee, he would go to different houses and ask for a little bit at each house. Not a lot. Maybe just one slice of pizza in each person's house instead of a whole pie. So he would go to that's Madhukari. Oh, can I have something to eat? Can I have something to eat? Can I have something to eat? Shawarma-rash or something to eat. And that's it. And then, because he's gradually becoming detached, but still there's a lot of attention to eating. Then the next stage. The next stage is Parvajakacharya. He just travels and preaches to everybody. And then people naturally give him food. You know, sometimes he asks for it, sometimes he doesn't. You know, it's just like he's not worried about it. The food is there. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, ekho bahonam, yobadarati. Come on. Krishna provides food for everybody, even the animals. So he doesn't worry about it. And that's, then he gets really detached. And when he's really detached, he's preaching, and he cannot travel anymore. He gets a little old. Then he takes the order of Paramahamsa Sannyasi. He remains in one place and doesn't preach anymore. And just is absorbed in his relationship with Krishna and the holy names. So these are, that's traditional. But that traditional stuff is not supposed to be done in Kali Yuga. Because that traditional stuff, it's forbidden. That type of sannyas is forbidden. So the only reason for sannyas is to carry on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the other things, like taking vows of dedication, you could do that in any order of life. And so if you're not ready to take a vow, full dedication, to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and your spiritual master, you're not ready to take sannyas. If you're still thinking of the mahaplates, you're not ready to take sannyas. If you're still thinking about followers, you're not ready to take sannyas. If you're still thinking about being independent, you know, and being respected, you're not ready to take sannyas. So, Haina, actually, I remember I had one of my godbrothers who took Paramahamsa sannyas, and because he's was thinking he was going to die very soon. The doctors told him that. Sometimes doctors are wrong. And after a few months, he discovered that he wasn't going to die, and that was it. You know, he left everything. Hena kripa maya chaitanya na bhaje ye jana sarvottama hile o tare asure ganana. One who does not show respect unto this merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or does not worship him should be considered a demon, even if he is very much exalted in human society. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, in this connection, O living entity, simply engage yourself in Krishna consciousness. This is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya preached this cult, instructing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in his 8 verses, or Shikshashtika, and he said, Ihahite sarva siddhi haiva savara. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will get all perfection in life. Therefore, one who does not show him respect or cannot appreciate his mercy despite all these merciful gestures is an asura, or opponent of bona fide devotional service to Lord Vishnu, even though he may be very much exalted in human society. The word asura refers to one who is against devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. It should be noted that unless one worships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is useless to become a devotee of Krishna. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's heavy. So it's true, but we don't bash people over the head with that. And unless one worships Krishna, it is also useless to become a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar. In order to become Krishna conscious, you have to follow the process given by the Yuga Avatar. Yuga Avatar means the appearance of the Lord in each particular Yuga, time, place, circumstance, to actually teach you about the authorized method in that particular time, place, and circumstance. Kali Yuga is Krishnanam Sankirtan, previous Yuga, deity worship, previous yuga, fire sacrifices, previous yuga, meditation. Just sitting and oming your way away, your time away. Such devotional service is to be understood to be a product of Kali Yuga. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection that atheist smartas, or worshippers of the 5 kinds of demigods, worship Lord Vishnu for a little satisfaction, material success, but have no respect for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what a smarta is someone who follows rituals and thinks that the goal is just these little rituals, and he's very expert in rituals. Thinking him to be one, and we have people like that sometimes who are like smartas. That doesn't mean they're smart. That's something different. Smarta is someone who thinks he's smart because he knows all these little irrelevant details which are not applicable to this particular time, place, and circumstance. Because details are time, place, and circumstance applicable. In other words, that's a fact. You know, there's certain things nowadays, let's say even in technology, that's applicable. And certain things, I mean, for example, let's say 100 or 150 years ago, if you gave someone coal to heat their house, that would be very nice. But now if I bring you some coal to heat your house, it doesn't apply anymore. I mean, at least as far as we're doing here in America. Thinking him to be one of the ordinary living entities, they discriminate between Gaurasundara and Sri Krishna. Such understanding is also demoniac, and against the conclusion of the Acharya, such a conclusion is the product of Kali Yuga. Ataiva puna kahonurva bahuhana chitanya nichiranda pashaye kutarka chadiya. Therefore, I say again, lifting my arms, O fellow human beings, please worship Sri Chaitanya and Nichananda without false arguments. Because a person who performs Krishna bhakti but does not understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda will simply waste his time. The author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, requests everyone to take to the worship of Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu and the Panchatattva. He assures everyone that any person who does so will be successful in Krishna consciousness. So, we are going to take some questions now. We want to see who is going to be successful and who is going to be a failure. You will reveal to us in your questions who is a failure and who will be successful. So what does it mean to take shelter of Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Not just to believe in them. I actually want to complete this thought process. Not just to believe in them. Just like sometimes Christians say, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. Well, it's not believe in them. You have to believe in what they teach. Believe in their existence, believe in what they teach, and do. The proof of belief is doing. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. The proof that you believe, the proof that you believe something is that you do it. It's obvious. If I tell you, you invest money in this particular stock in the stock market, and you don't do it, that means you don't believe me. And if you do do it, you do believe me. It's a practical test. Isn't it? I mean, it's not enough. Word service is not sufficient. The proof of the belief is in the action. Therefore, when the Christians come up to you and say, it's not by works alone that you could go back to God, then you reply, you're right, it's not by works alone, but works are part of it. Works are not sufficient. You could pull out some logic to them, with them. You could say, works are not sufficient, but they're necessary, you rascal. Because if you say, belief is sufficient, that's ridiculous. Because if you actually believe, you would work. The works are not sufficient because you can do works without belief, but you can't do belief without works. You understand? You can do works. You know, you can eat prasadam without believing it's prasadam. But if you actually believe something was prasadam, you would eat it. You rascal. Okay. Who wants to be the first rascal that I challenge here?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam.
Okay, you're the first one. Okay, so what's the question? Nalini Kant.
Gurudev, regarding Jarasan, so our Vedas, that he didn't understand that he is worshipping Vishnu, or he only had this aim that from Vedic rituals he will gain some power and liberation. And
yeah, things. I mean, he was using Vishnu to gain power, but he was worshipping Vishnu. But he also understood that his poor son-in-law, you know who the son-in-law of Jarasandha was?
I forgot Gurudev. I knew.
You forgot.
Kamsa.
Oh, yeah.
That his poor son-in-law was married to his daughters. I mean, that's what a son-in-law is anyway, as far as I remember. So he was a little sentimental also, but he had kamaistasta ritagyana prapajante na devata, because his knowledge was stolen by lust and anger. First of all, he couldn't identify that Krishna was actually Vishnu. You know, that was another problem he had. But he was just so lusty, and you know, he was really upset. You know, can you imagine? All right, so you have a daughter, right?
Yes.
When I last checked. So can you imagine you get your daughter married to someone, some really handsome guy named Kamsa, and I go and kill him? And you'd be pretty upset with me, too. Say, Guru Maharaj, why'd you kill my son-in-law, who I was so attached to? So Krishna killed his son-in-law. And then the wives of Kamsa were actually sent back to Jarasandha to be with the father. I mean, that's horrible what Krishna did. Inexcusable. Krishna should not allow those ladies to be like completely unprotected. I'm embarrassed that he did such a thing. He should have thought, you know, here's their husband, let me forgive him. But anyway, that's another issue. I'm just joking about that. So anyway, so Jarasandha was overcome by lust, anger, and everything like that. But he was so Vedic that even when he was fighting with Bhimsen, every night they would stop the fight and they would sit down at the dinner table and joke. Yeah. You know, just like you have, just like in boxing. I don't know if you know what boxing is, but anyway, yeah. It's an American sport. That there's a round, you know, bing, when the round's over, the people come, and, you know, in the beginning of the fight, I don't know, I've never watched boxing, but I've heard about it. They shake their hands and they come out fighting. So it's a very chivalrous type of activity. So Jarasandha was very chivalrous in a Vedic way, and he did worship Vishnu, but so did Shukracharya.
Mm-hmm.
Shukracharya worshipped Vishnu. He told Bali Maharaj to worship Vishnu, but when Vishnu wanted to take everything away, including Shukracharya's dakshin, it'd be like if I have a disciple. If I had a disciple. That's actually funny. If I had a disciple and I was depending on him to get me a new car or something like that, and then Krishna comes, and he takes the car for himself. You know, Krishna comes to this disciple and he's getting ready to buy some new car for me. And then Krishna says, ask for everything, basically. Then I would get very upset. I'd get very upset. And Krishna! I've been worshiping you and telling him to worship. Why are you taking everything away and not having me, letting me enjoy this material world? So you find even people who are worshiping Krishna many times, with the improper understanding, of course, they get angry at Krishna. Shukracharya got so angry with Krishna, and also Krishna put out his eye. You know, there's that whole story that Bali was getting ready to signify the giving of the alms to Vamanadeva And the way he did that was he would pour some water from a pitcher. The pitcher had a little tiny spout in it. Shukracharya became small and clogged up the spout. And we had Vamanadeva take some grass, kusha grass, and poke out the eye of Shukracharya by doing that. So anyway, so there are so many examples of people who worship Vishnu and they end up not accepting Vishnu ultimately.
Yes.
So that happens.
Yes.
Isn't it? Vishnu tests us sometimes. Do you actually want me? And sometimes we become people get envious. I mean, just like you see, you know, someone's worshiping Krishna. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to use specifics here. Someone's worshiping Krishna, you know, running a temple or something like that. And one of his godbrothers does something so amazing. He comes to the Western world and makes all the Westerners chant and dance like monkeys. But anyway, like chanting and dancing. And then the godbrother starts criticizing. But in essence, that godbrother is criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Wow.
He's not just criticizing his godbrother, he's criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole movement, the whole philosophy, the whole intention. So, yeah, you see, and then that person may be a sannyasi. He's critical. You know, how can a sannyasi be critical and envious of someone who is having success in reaching out and preaching Krishna consciousness to others? You know, so even someone who is in the sannyasa order of life can act demoniacally sometimes. It's amazing. Because Kama Asia, Krodha Asia, Rajaguna Samudbhavat, because there's lust, anger, greed. And one has to be very careful. So one could be fully aware that Krishna's God and worshiping Lord Chaitanya and then succumb to these things. It's simply amazing. So what to speak of Jarasandha? I mean, Jarasandha, whatever, you know. But, you know, I'm talking about people who are even can be practicing Krishna consciousness. I mean, today I was just looking at one of my disciples was very upset because there were people criticizing him on the internet. And he was feeling really upset about it because he's a successful person in this world. And, you know, when you're successful, people criticize you. And it was actually even some devotees criticizing, you know, quote devotees. And they were saying so many horrendous things. And then they ended up saying so many horrendous things about, I mean, they were followers of the Ritvik Sampradaya. Or I don't want to say Sampradaya, Ritvik, whatever group. That's like the frogs that I talked about last night. Ritvik, 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 Ritvik. That's how they talk. So, and they were saying so many nonsense, offensive things, not only about him, but about all the, you know, the leaders of the movement and things like that. And they're supposed to be devotees. And they're chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? Because as you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's an interesting phenomena. You have these weeds that can grow at the same time you're watering the main creeper. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that when we chant Hare Krishna, we're watering the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of the creeper of devotion. And so at the same time, he describes himself as a gardener. At the same time, you're actually cultivating these this creeper of devotion, you can actually inadvertently start cultivating weeds of profit, adoration, distinction, envy, anarthas. The interesting thing is Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that anarthas, one of the sources of anarthas is in the Madhurya Kadambini, he says some of the byproducts of bhakti. So one has to be very careful. One can be chanting Hare Krishna and developing envy if one is not chanting properly. So what to speak of Jarasandha? Jarasandha had some issues. He was a little challenged, poor guy. Kamsa, he had some issues too. I feel sorry for these guys. They were just like challenged in different ways. Okay. That's
Gurudev, can I ask quickly?
Yeah, one more question.
So Jarasandha knew Vedas by hearing, by Shruti, not by Smriti that time. And
he knew Vedas by hearing. Maybe he read also. I mean, in other words, maybe he remembered. Smriti means remembered also means like the Puranas, Itihasas, and everything like that. Yeah, at that time, the Puranas were not extant. In other words, the Bhagavad Purana was actually noted down. Well, it was there, but it really wasn't prominent as it is nowadays.
And there was no Guru Parampara at that time?
Yeah, there was always a Guru Parampara.
So sure he didn't... Oh, sorry.
I don't know who his guru was.
Okay.
Maybe someone knows. Maybe it was Shukracharya, but I don't know. Okay. But anyway, there's Guru Parampara. There's always been Guru. There's also demon guru paramparas and everything like that. I mean, Shukracharya has his parampara. That's why he's called Shukracharya. That means a seminal parampara.
But that is not authorized by the god.
No, seminal paramparas are not authorized. We have to, parampara is by knowledge. Tadbhignartam sadhguruva bhigachet samidpadi shrotriyam brahmanishtam. One should actually accept the guru by quality, not by birth. Not because one happens to be born in a Goswami family. There's that interesting story of one of the Goswamis, and I forget which one it was, who used to, at the Radha Damodara temple, who used to smoke cigarettes all the time, or biddies, you know, beatings, or whatever you call them in India. It means roll your own. So, and so one time Prabhupada was taking prasadam with the devotees, and I forget the name, so maybe one of you can note down in the chat window the name of this particular Goswami. But he was taking prasadam, and I believe it was Malati's daughter, Saraswati, who said, oh, because he was hot. Yeah, here it is. Here's the story. It was told by Guru Das that this particular so-called Goswami was actually behind the doorway trying to sneak a cigarette while the devotees were eating. And no, it wasn't Vipini Goswami. It was one of the Goswamis in charge of the Radha Damodara temple. Anyway, so she noticed, she said, oh, so-and-so, he's smoking. Anyway, because he was addicted to smoking. And Guru Das tells the story that he used to steal the cigarettes of the biddies from this particular Goswami. And this Goswami had glasses like this, were like Coke bottles. Like, you know, really, like, couldn't really see through them. Anyway, it's an interesting story. That's hereditary Goswami. I thought it was a really funny story. It was at the Radha Damodara temple, and one of the hereditary Goswamis was actually in charge. And he was very nice to Prabhupada and everything like that, but I forgot his name. So.
Thank you, Guruji.
Thank you. Next is Pran Govinda. Who is that? Okay. So Pran Govinda, you can ask a question.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada.
On the text 5, Maharaj, just a technical.
Yeah.
It says that Vaishnava philosophy, there are 3 ways of for perfection.
Yeah.
Generally, the maturity of sadhan siddha, they become like nitya siddha. But here, nitya siddha is another category?
Yeah, nitya siddha means always perfect. But when one performs sadhan siddha, becomes sadhan siddha, then it's non-different than nitya siddha. I mean, obviously, once you're siddha or perfect, you're siddha. It's not that you're hey, because you became perfect by doing sadhana, you're one of the lower guys here. You know, we were always perfect. Hey, Pran Govinda, I was always perfect. And you became perfect. And remember that. Remember your position. You know, I mean, it's like seniority or something like that. I remember, like, Prabhupada would tell the story how at the Gaudiya Math, people who were initiated even 10 minutes after someone else would make sure that they would sit when they were taking prasadam after someone else sat. I mean, etiquette is etiquette, but 10 minutes, you know, I don't think that's so important. I don't think that's so important. Let me mute him. Okay. So, anyway, so Siddha is Siddha. And what I said in regard to that particular purport is that we need to have a combination of sadhan siddha and kripa. Because
but Maharaj,
yes.
who practiced nitya siddha? I mean, I never heard or saw anybody.
Prabhupada's nitya siddha. You don't practice nitya siddha. You are nitya siddha.
What about Narad Muni?
What about
him? He was singing cinema song.
Yeah.
In his previous life as Upavarayan.
I know. And then he got cursed to be born as a Shudra's son. But when you're cursed by the great devotees, that's actually a blessing. That's kripa. And the same thing happened with Manigriva Nalokuvara, right?
So he became Nitya Siddha or he was pretending like...
He became Nitya Siddha. He was singing Bollywood songs, right?
Yeah, Prabhupada writes cinema songs.
Yeah, Bollywood songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that time
songs.
He was not...
No, in other words, Prabhupada says cinema songs. We understand that to mean like just mundane love songs.
Right.
It's not that he was watching movies. I mean, you got to understand the context in which Prabhupada writes that. It's not that Upavarya was actually watching Ronnie Mukherjee or something like that. And he was singing the songs from some cinema song. Actually, I remember one cinema, Indian cinema movie, Bollywood movie I liked. It's called Oh My God.
Oh, really? I never heard that.
Yeah, it was really nice. And they had it, and the main song in the movie was Go. Go, go, Govinda, go, 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 Govinda, go, 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 Govinda. Really, that was it. I recommend that movie to you because it showed how bogus most of the sadhus are in India. There was one sadhu who was doing a fast for political reasons, but he couldn't fast, so he took the prasadam inside the toilet and was eating the prasadam to hide out so people wouldn't see him eating.
Krishna.
Good movie. I highly recommend that movie because it's actually very educational.
Okay.
Very educational.
So, Maharaj, another question if you don't mind.
One more question and then you can go. Yeah.
What is your opinion about the other Sampradaya Vaishnava who are not worshipping Lord Chaitanya? At least when I went to visit those temples in South India, what is their destination?
The destination is that they will eventually be informed about Lord Chaitanya and get the opportunity to worship Lord Chaitanya. Or they will go to Vaikuntha. I mean, Krishnadas, the point is, if one is informed about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he doesn't accept Lord Chaitanya, then he's rascal. But if someone has not yet been informed about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can't really criticize such a person. In the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, you'll find stories of the Acharyas. You read that book?
Yes.
Stories of the Acharyas who actually came in contact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even in these other sampradayas, another point is in these other sampradayas, they're gradually recognizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you go to Sri Rangam or if you go to some of the temples in South India, Tirumala, Tirupati, you'll find that they're actually beginning to recognize Lord Chaitanya. Another thing is, when you go to many of the holy places in India, you will find the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that have been installed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like if you're climbing up to see Tirumala, you actually see Lord Chaitanya's footsteps that were installed by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If you go to Singhachalam, if you go to Mangalgiri, if you go to practically so many of these places in South India, all over India, you'll see that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed these Pada Tirthas. Okay, got to end. It's
wait,
time.
Wait, Marag.
No, just, tomorrow.
Just,
save
just
it for
last.
No, Marag, no, no just, time. Goodbye. Oh. Hasta la vista. Ciao.
Maharaj, I love you.
Shalom. Alekhem. Namaste. Namaste. Goodbye. Tomorrow night, you can ask more questions.
Okay.
All glory to